Good morning. I'm Pastor Rolf. Good to see you this morning. I do want to introduce my wife and I have some guests with us. The longest suffering neighbors in the world. And we hope we hear the angels' voices this morning. But let me see. There's Susan and Patrick and my girlfriend Olga. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. And, of course, my beautiful wife. Thank you for being here today with us. We live kind of at the corner of Spanish Garden and Alyssum. And on their side of the street, it's called Alyssum. But on our side of the street, it's called Asylum. Yeah. Let's begin this morning with a kind of praying one of the psalms, and it's just really appropriate for this theme, touched by an angel. From the 91st psalm, I should say, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to keep guard for you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I saw a cartoon one time that showed kids fighting in the TV room, you know, in front of the TV. And mom was breaking up the fight and said, "What was this all about?" Well, we were arguing about whether we should watch a rerun of Touched by an Angel or a rerun of Highway to Heaven. Well, I got to tell you this morning, this sermon is no rerun. I wrote this fresh, you know. It's hot off the press, let me tell you. The buzzer rang in the throne room of God. St. Peter, his secretary, came running in and said, "Yes, Lord, what do you want?" And the Lord said, "Send me my most trusted angel, Carruthers." And Carruthers came scurrying in. And the Lord looked at him and said, "Carruthers, I want you to go down to earth and I want you to make a list of all the sinners. I want you to make a list of all the people that have done wrong and broken my law and committed hanky-panky and everything else. Get down there and get about your business." So Carruthers went down to earth and he worked through one notebook and another notebook and another notebook. And he finally gave up. He went back to God. He said, "God, there are so many sinners on earth, I don't know how I can possibly write all their names down." God thought about it a moment and he said, "I know, let's change it around. Instead of writing down the names of all the sinners, why don't you write down the names of all the righteous people? People that have followed my law and obeyed my will." Well, what good would that do, Carruthers says. Well, he said, "Then we can write him a letter." Well, what kind of letter? He said, "A letter of commendation. You know, we would write in there how good it is to see that people are righteous and following my law and my dictates and the commandments." And by the way, do any of you know what the rest of the letter said? Oh, you mean you didn't get one either? I thought I was the only one that didn't get one. I'm no angel. We say that, don't we? In fact, we talk about guardian angels. And we talk about having an angel on our shoulder. Hopefully the devil isn't whispering in the other side, right? Right, exactly. To be touched by an angel. To be touched by an angel. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph. Well, Zechariah certainly didn't get a letter either. But they were all touched by an angel. The angel spoke to Zechariah. This is from the reading today. The story of Zechariah being spoken to by the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel tells him, even just like Abraham and Sarah in your old age, Elizabeth will conceive and have a child, and you'll name him John. And Zechariah says, right, kind of like, you know, a little doubtful. And Gabriel said, for your lack of faith, he said, I'm going to strike you mute until that child is born. He was he wasn't taking names that day, I'll tell you. Pretty harsh. 9 months of pregnancy without uttering a word. My wife would love that. But finally, the child was born, taking away Elizabeth's disgrace and bringing into the world the forerunner of Jesus. And you can read of that scene when Elizabeth presents this bundle of joy to be, who is to become John the Baptist, you know, in camel skins and eating locusts and wild honey, you know. And you can see Elizabeth just glowing, presenting this child to her family and saying, and his name will be John. John? John? We don't have anybody in the family named John. Yeah, who's John? And even Zechariah, sitting there with his little tablet, has to write out, his name is John. And instantly he could speak. And you know what he did? The first thing he did was he praised the Lord. He praised it. He didn't complain. He didn't say, how come you struck me mute? He said, blessed be the Lord our God. It was called the Benedictus. So it was with Joseph and Mary. And there's a lot of rights in that story too. But they were touched by an angel. And when Jesus was born, huh? And when Mary heard the annunciation that she was to give birth to the Savior Jesus, what did she do? She broke out in song. My soul now magnifies the Lord. It's called the Magnificat. How about you? Have you been touched? I don't mean touched. I mean, have you been touched by an angel? Have there been times in your life when you've felt the presence of God? Huh? You know, an old prayer, I think it's from Ireland, it says, from ghosties and ghoulies and long-leggedy beasties, deliver us, O Lord. Well, we don't ask to be delivered from, but be delivered into the hands of God's message. That's what an angel is. One who bears God's message. In that sense, you and I can be touched by an angel and can spread that same message of joy and of praise of God. Huh? When I was a young pastor, student pastor actually, I thank God for the first experience I had as a student pastor. A woman came in my office one day and she said, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something that's happened in my life. She was a woman, maybe mid-40s at that time. She looked prematurely aged, and she explained to me that she had had lupus. Very deadly disease, especially back then. And that, in fact, she had been visited by an angel. On her deathbed, she didn't know if it was an angel or if it was Christ himself, came to her and announced to her that you will not die, you will live. And I thank God that I had that experience early on in ministry so that forever after I wouldn't doubt people when they told me stories or when I myself experienced something, what would we call it, supernatural, something different, something that touches our lives in such a way that we are transported. You're worried about my coffee? So am I. Just a second here. I'm glad I didn't spill that, Pastor Robert. I thank God that I was able to have that experience early on in ministry so that I could be there for people who told me stories. You are sitting here this morning and thinking of something that has happened into your in your life too that is nothing short of miraculous. You've been touched by an angel, and you don't know how to tell other people because they'll think you're flipped your lid, huh? That you're crazy. You see? And there was a woman that was so depressed, and one day she was sitting on the edge of her bed in the hospital, and a woman came along. She didn't know who she was. She sat down next to her, and you know what she said to her? Here's what she said. The world was never sadder than on Good Friday when Christ was crucified. But just 3 days later, the world was never brighter than when he rose from the grave. Whatever your problem is, it will seem a lot less worrisome to you if you can just wait 3 days. Can you wait 3 days? It was Friday. But Sunday is coming. You see what I'm saying to you? All of us, we can afford to wait 3 days. We can wait upon an angel to touch our lives. We never know who it is. That woman, she didn't know who she was. She wasn't a nurse there in the hospital. She was just another visitor. She had no idea that this lady that was so depressed was a Christian, and yet she spoke the right words to her. It was dark on Friday, but it was bright on Easter Sunday. It was bright when the star shone down on the manger, that crude manger that Jesus was laid in. John the Baptist wasn't a graduate of how to make friends and influence people. I mean, he was a judgmental prophet. And yet he brought about the great ministry of Christ. He was the forerunner of it. You see? And so we ask God to touch our lives. To touch our lives in such a way, don't we? You know, there's a great, no sermon is any good, right, Pastor Rick? If you don't quote Shakespeare. Horatio, it says, there are things in heaven and in earth that your dreams cannot touch with your philosophy. There are things in heaven and in earth that are not dreamt of in human philosophies. Have you experienced that as a Christian? There are things that you have experienced, that I have experienced. I remember one time I got called to the hospital one night to say a final blessing on the life of an old farmer. He was profoundly comatose. He was in a deep coma. And when I blessed him, when I put my hand on his forehead and gave him the sign of the cross, tears ran down his cheeks. He was profoundly comatose, and yet God gave him tears to acknowledge the promise of God Now, I'm not trying to tell you that old farmer was touched by an angel. He was touched by an ugly old Lutheran pastor. But he felt the presence of God. He felt the presence of God in that moment. And we feel that presence too. There was a very, very successful rescue mission. And there was a guy named Bill that was in charge of this rescue mission. And one day a guy stumbled in there, you know, he had hit bottom and he was below bottom. And Bill took him and counseled him, and he started to get his life straightened out, and he became a man whose life had been touched by an angel. And one day they had a worship service up front, you know, and the man came down. He idolized Bill. And he was standing at the altar and he was praying. He was saying, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me Bill." And the preacher, Pastor Robert, leaned over and said, "Maybe you better thank Jesus Christ." And the man said, "Is he like Bill? Is he like Bill?" We are God's ambassadors in this neighborhood. And in the world, we are ambassadors. We are Bill. And we'll never be mistaken for Jesus Christ. We'll never be mistaken for an angel. Believe me, my mother, my recommendation for ministry was, she said, "Rolf knows a lot about sin. He'll be a great preacher." Well, I went and fooled her, and I became a good, fairly decent average preacher. Because what? It wasn't up to my mom. It wasn't up to me. It was God who touches us and gives us the word that we can share with others. You see? Let us not forget the role that angels played in the scriptures, huh? Think of Abraham and Sarah visited by three strangers. Two angels and perhaps the Lord himself. They laughed. So much so that they named their child Isaac, which means they laughed. Think of Jacob, who wrestled the angel for a blessing. Think, and he changed his name, of course, to Israel, one who strives with God. Think of the angel who shut the lion's mouth and spared Daniel. Think again of the angels in the Revelation. There's an abundance of angels in the Revelation. Think of the angels that appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth, to Mary and to Joseph. And think how they announced the resurrection without wings. There's the angel ready to do battle. And there's the angels without wings who are announcing Christ's resurrection to the women at the tomb. All you have to do is wait 3 days. 3 days. It's a lifetime for some of us, huh? It's a lifetime. And we celebrate this one who sent his son and his holy angels to keep charge over us. Huh? We celebrate this one, and we never, never, never forget the great promise of God given through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, there was an atheist. He was out sailing in Scotland. And all of a sudden, he happened to be on Loch Ness, and a big Loch Ness monster came up and almost capsized his sailboat, and it tossed it in the air and opened its mouth and was just ready to swallow. And the atheist said, "Lord, save me!" And the Lord chuckled and said, "I thought you didn't believe in me." And the atheist said, give me a break. Until a few minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either. You know? What do they say? Crisis makes for good Christians sometimes. Huh? And we have been visited this day. Remember the words of our Lord, and then remember this admonition from Hebrews. I found this at a garage sale, by the way. And I'm gonna with Pastor Robert and Sarah and Pastor Robin and Pastor Rick, we're going to find an appropriate place to put this up. On it, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Isn't that what your ministry here is all about? Entertaining strangers? For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So, if you've been touched by an angel, now you can touch somebody else with this good news, this great good news. He was born, and he died, and he rose again. Amen. All right. Now, because we part of my message was to instill in us a sense of what we really believe. I'm going to ask Sarah to put up the Apostles' Creed and lead you in that. Will you join with me in the Apostles' Creed? There's nothing in there about angels, but we'll just imply that being the ability to utter these words is given to us by God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. And I hope you can say, as I do, I feel like I've been touched by an angel. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, again. I give thanks for such a beautiful week I've had. Just by coincidence, a friend of mine gave me a paper on strengthening my personal boundaries, and I did have to stand up for myself, and I'm glad I read the verses associated with that that helped me be bolder. So, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Agreement that the fathers of the households, as they are the ones who carry much of the spiritual community and influence, would have a heart change and come to Christ. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers.
Especially coming up this week on April 28th, we're in support for the World
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, I lift up Dino Taylor. Pray for continued healing, continued strength, and pray that you deliver him from his sickness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.